I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. It's hard to believe that it's been two decades since singer-songwriter Tracy Chapman burst onto the scene with her self-titled debut album. The album went on to sell 6 million copies and netted her 3 Grammy Awards and introduced her unforgettable hit song, Fast Car.
So I remember when we were driving in your car, speed so fast it felt like I was drunk. City lights lay out before us, and your arm felt nice wrapped around my shoulder. Someone.
And now Tracy Chapman is winding up a tour in support of her 8th studio album titled Our Bright Future. It's the first time that Chapman has been on the road in 3 years, and she's joining us now from NPR West in Culver City. Welcome, Tracy Chapman. It's great to talk to you.
Thank you. Good to be here.
How's the tour going?
It's going well. And actually, I have been on tour for a little while. I was in Europe last year. This is just one of my first tours in the States in a while.
In the States? I know, exactly. Why are you being mean to us and depriving us? What's going on? Why? I noticed that. What did we do?
No, you know, it's just that I, for some reason, have been in this pattern of going to Europe right after the release of my records, starting my tours there, and then often going back. I have a really loyal fan base there, and on occasion, we've just missed the United States.
One of the big songs from this tour was your single, Sing For You. Do you want to tell us a little bit about it before we play a little of it?
Sure. It's a song that I think I was inspired to write because I remembered all these times that I listened to music with other people and how the music has been a soundtrack in my life. And the times that people sang to me or I sang to other people, and just thinking about being in the car and singing with my friends or my sister and I, we would sing to the radio. You know, we'd listen to like Top 40 radio and sing along to the songs. And of course, that's not what I do for a living, too, is to sing for people. But this song was really not about that and just more about how it's a part of the fabric of our everyday lives.
All right, well, let's play a little bit. Here it is. Sing for you.
Sweet and high at the break of dawn. Simple tune that you can hum along to. I remember there was a time when I used to sing for you. Do 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 do. I used to sing for you.
You know, it's a sweet song, but it's sort of wistful. Why used to? What?
You know, other people have asked this question, and I only hear it now, and hearing it back, it does sound a little wistful.
But you really didn't hear that at the time?
I didn't. No. One of the musicians mentioned it in the studio. He was saying it was a sweet song, but it seemed a little sad. And I was like, no, it's not sad.
Another song I wanted to talk about is Save Us All, which I think a lot of people have noticed and talked about. And I just want to play a little bit and I want to hear what was on your mind when you wrote it. Here it is.
I know Jesus loves me. In my heart, I know it's true. I know Mary's little baby came into the world just to save me. I don't know. Mighty big God, my God can shake the world up. Plagues and famines, frogs and locusts, walking on water, burning bushes, rolling the thunder, parting the waters too. My God's good in the kitchen. Make a good meal from bread and fishes. Feed the hungry, pour the wine. Everybody's welcome to have a good time. Sit at his table, enjoy the food.
I'm dying to know what inspired this. I have this image in my mind of you watching one of the cable channels. Saying, oh, no. So I promised myself I'd test that theory. So what were you thinking about when you wrote this?
I don't know that there was a specific image that came to mind. But I happen to have a number of friends who are very interested in religion and who are studying religion, so we talk about it all the time. And then, of course, in recent years in the United States, it's really something that you can't avoid in the public sphere, in that there's discussion of religion and politics and really everything. I was kind of thinking about my own history with religion. I was raised in a Baptist tradition, but then I went to an Episcopalian high school, and they were very accepting of people of all faiths, and I think I was very influenced by that and notions of intolerance that some people have about other religious traditions. It just, I think in some ways because of, you know, my own background, doesn't make any sense to me. And I just started thinking about how we sometimes then need to be saved from the people who think they need to save us.
But if pride goeth before the fall, hope someone's God will save us all, save us all. Love the sinners too. But if pride goeth before the fall, hope someone's God will save us all, save us all. And love the sinners too.
How do you match the also the tune to the idea? Do you know what comes first? Does the tune come first? Does the idea come first? How does that all work?
It all comes together. That's the way it's always worked for me with songwriting. I started writing songs when I was about 8 years old, and I just have an idea, whether it's a lyric idea or music, and I'm playing the guitar, practicing, and it all just comes together at the same time.
What made you first pick up a guitar?
Well, it's hard to say, but I think that I might have been influenced by a country variety show called Hee Haw.
Okay, that's really weird.
Why
Cleveland,
is that?
I don't know. Cleveland. I don't really think of Cleveland as being one of those. But hey.
I know. Yeah, well, Cleveland, I know. It's considered the rock capital of the world or something like that. But that wasn't really part of my reality. And I think my mother really liked the show, so she basically had control of television. But I loved the music. And it featured Buck Owens and Minnie Pearl, I think was her name.
Yep.
And they just had these incredible, very decorative guitars, actually. And I'm not a fan of the decorative guitar, but I think as an 8-year-old or 7-year-old, I was really drawn to it in part for that reason. And I just loved the sound of it, and I asked for a guitar. I had a ukulele when I was much younger. I have no idea what happened to it, but I think that was part of it, just being inspired and wanting to try to play an instrument that, to me, sounded beautiful.
If you're just joining us, we're speaking with Tracy Chapman. She's winding up her U.S. tour in support of her latest album, Our Bright Future. And speaking, you know, of Our Bright Future and your hopes for Our Bright Future, you've always been known for standing up for causes and identifying yourself with organizations that do work that you believe in, like Amnesty International or AMFAR. How do you decide what you want to get involved in?
Well, as you might imagine, I'm approached by lots of organizations and lots of people who want me to support their various charitable efforts in some way. And I look at those requests and I basically try to do what I can. And I have certain interests of my own, generally an interest in human rights. So that's partly why I've supported Amnesty International for all these years. And as you probably know, it was because of the Amnesty International World Tour in 1988 that I was introduced to an international audience. And I got to see some of the work they were doing around the world when we kind of had that whirlwind tour. You know, it was 6 weeks and going to every continent, every major city in the world. It was really quite amazing. So it's humbling, really. I mean, just see the scope of and the scale of some of these problems. In some cases, you're thinking that after you've made a certain amount of effort, there'll be obvious improvement, you know, obvious positive change. That sometimes doesn't happen in the time frame that you might expect or hope. I'll say this. I mentioned that I received a scholarship to an Episcopalian school, and the motto for the school was from each according to his or her ability and to each according to his or her need. And it's something that is still really important to me in thinking about how I prioritize what I do with my life.
How do you refresh yourself?
Well, music is part of that. Making music, being creative, being with people who are excited and inspired about life in general, learning new things, being in nature. I love living in California and being able to go to the beach or go to the woods. It's really about, you know, enjoying a really good meal with friends, fresh organic food, my dog, those things refresh me.
There's a really different song on this album. I just have to play it because I think it cracks everybody up who hears it. And it's called "I Did It All." We're gonna play a little bit now. You have to tell me what's up with that. Here it is.
A cosmopolitan, a Manhattan. Call me one, pour around for me and my friends. Cape Cod sea breeze, Long Island iced teas. I won't go there or drink it if you pay me. When they come to waylay me, when they close in for the capture, I did it all, I did it all, for the love and the laughter. I did it all, I did it all, I did it all. Slept in late, stayed up all days, partied hard, lived my 20s in a haze. Smoked secondhand in crowded bars with the A-list of B-list movie stars. When they come to arrest me, pat me down and undress me, I'll confess without Miranda. Strike a pose for the tabloid cameras. I did it all, I did it all, I did it all.
So what's up with that? Is that like Pink at 60 who meets a bad end? What's going on? No disrespect to our girl Pink, but...
That's so funny. And people keep asking me if it's in some way based on a real person. But I think, you know, we could all insert someone if we want to. But I didn't have anyone in particular in mind.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Sure. And you're right. but that song started with a kind of play on words. And that, and maybe this doesn't make the best story, but some of my friends were trying to make mixed drinks that they had remembered from, you know, the past. And not that people don't have these now, but a Manhattan, for instance. And it just it made me think about this person who considered herself really sophisticated because she was, having these kinds of drinks. And then I was just imagining what this person looked like, what the rest of her life was like. And came up with that song and that character. She's really not based on anyone I know.
Well, you just want to show people that you're not all about like saving dolphins and stuff.
Well, I mean, it's so funny to be in the position of having to prove that you have a sense of humor. I feel like it has been apparent in my songs from the first few records, but I think people so often focus on the political songs, the songs that have some social commentary, and then, you know, my association with Amnesty International and that sort of thing. And then they think that I am all serious and no fun. But I didn't feel like I had to prove it, but I'm hoping that this song proves it.
Well, as I mentioned, and I almost can't believe it myself, you've been in the industry for 2 decades. I don't know if you, when you started out, you thought that you'd still be doing this. You won 4 Grammys. You've sold millions of albums. What's next? What else do you want to do?
That's a good question. Well, you know, it's interesting. This 20-year anniversary marks the end of the contract that I signed when I was in my 20s. So I am now free to decide what I want to do.
I didn't know contracts went so long.
They don't normally, but this one did. And so I'm going to take some time and figure out my options. You know, the record business has changed quite a bit in that time. And I think I have a lot more options than I did even 10 years ago.
If you could give any advice to, say, a you of 20 years ago, somebody who might be listening to you, do you have any? What might it be?
Well, I guess I would remind myself that it really is okay to be yourself. And I think for the most part, I was aware of that as the years went by. But, you know, there certainly were times when I felt pressure from other people to try to be someone that I wasn't or do something that didn't really feel quite right to me. But I guess I would remind myself that it's okay and that things will be all right, and that is the way that they turn out okay. If you are living a life that feels right to you, if you're willing to take creative chances or a creative path that feels like it's most in keeping with your sensibilities, you know, aesthetic and artistic, then that's what matters. And if in the process of doing that you don't succeed, by someone else's standards, then I don't think you've lost it all, because you still have something that you believe in, something that matters to you.
What song should we go out on?
Well, we could go out on Something to See.
Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Tracy Chapman. She's winding up her tour in support of her latest album, Our Bright Future. She was kind enough to join us from NPR West in Culver City, California. Tracy Chapman, thank you so much.
Thank you. It was great to talk to you.
No war, no greed. That would be something to see. I hope I live that long. No blood in the streets. Just a distant memory. The history book. Recount now we're all free. Now we're all free.
And that's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more tomorrow.
No war, no greed. That would be something to see. I hope I live that long. No one, no need. Struggle to end poverty finally has been won.